Well, what an amazing week, huh? We have in this gospel, I think, a beautiful foundation to talk about it in a faith-filled way. We had our courts make two major decisions, extending the civil rights of the poor to have health care, of the gays and lesbians to make commitments. And then we have a most amazing thing, if you listened to Obama's sermon, and that's what it amounted to, at the funeral of the 9 black people killed in Charleston. And what he succeeded in doing, I wish I could do it in my sermons, is turning a tragedy into the singing of amazing grace. Now you've got to know that's the whole gospel. Whenever you can turn tragedy into the singing of amazing grace, that's it. That's the whole point. That's what Jesus did on the cross and resurrection. And yet, it's always hard to get to that point. Immediately, most things that we're not used to or we're not accustomed to seem like a tragedy. I'm sure the 3 days after Jesus' crucifixion, everybody said, "Oh my God, terrible, terrible, terrible." It, of course, ended up being wonderful. But most people are not willing to wait and trust and hope and pray and see things in a bigger way. Notice in this gospel that Jesus allows himself to be interrupted twice. In both cases, he's setting out in one direction, and he allows the suffering and the need of another person to change his plans in mid-journey. First, we have the rich head of the synagogue telling him that Jesus has been trying to get to the other side of the lake, telling him that his daughter is dying. Jesus, instead of enjoying a relaxed picnic on the other side of the lake, goes with him to pray with his daughter. Then on the way, he's interrupted by another person. Now it's very interesting, both of these women are called daughter by Jesus. The first is the daughter of the synagogue official, 12 years old. The second is a daughter of Israel who has had a menstrual flow for 12 years. 12. Clearly, he's trying to create a parallel in the stories. Now, you've got to know, inside of Jewish law, what this poor Jewish woman would have suffered. I'm sure only a woman can imagine what it would be like to have a menstrual flow constantly for 12 years. Not only was she infertile, not only was she incapable of sexual relationships with her husband, she was considered impure, could not enter the temple, and because of her impurity, anybody she touched was made impure too. Religion has an amazing ability at its lower levels to declare certain groups impure. You know where I'm going. Every group does it at the lower levels. There's always a group who aren't as worthy as we are, who aren't as white or as Catholic or as heterosexual or as smart as we are. And we declare them sinners. That's exactly what was done to this woman. An unworthy woman on every count who must have had a miserable life, basically ostracized on every level. And feels so humble that she can't even approach Jesus face to face. Beautifully, she sneaks up behind him with great humility and simply touches the hem of his garment, with trust that God's love would be big enough, great enough, to care even for her. Even for her. You know, it's amazing that it took us this long to consider that the poor deserve health care, when we see in all of the Gospels Jesus' non-stop concern for health care for everybody. And in fact, this very Gospel goes out of its way to in fact criticize the doctors of her time. It says she had wasted most of her money on doctors, could get no help from the system whatsoever. This gospel had to be chosen by God for this Sunday, because Jesus offers health care anyway and gives his life to heal, or gives his ministry and grace to heal this poor woman. You know, America loves to call itself the land of liberty, but in fact, we usually only want liberty for ourselves, for our own group. And maybe that's why Pope Francis said, I know this isn't going to happen, but maybe you didn't hear it. He recommended that we rename the Statue of Liberty to the Statue of Mercy. I don't think it's going to happen, but you can see where he's going. Where he's going is toward the gospel. And whenever you're redirected toward the gospel, you're interrupted. And most people don't like to be interrupted on their normal path, especially if it's toward people on the edge or the bottom or sinners, people who need health care, our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. And so the first response is always, oh, this is terrible. Wait a while. Pray a while. Think a while. Suffer a while. That's the key. Suffer a while with other people's suffering instead of simply our own. Then God opens the mind, opens the heart. And what looks first of all too easily and too glibly like tragedy can again and again and again turn into resurrection. Brothers and sisters, that is our only life task, to take the tragedies, the seeming tragedies, that life forever offers us, and always, by the grace of God, by the amazing grace of God, to turn would-be tragedy into certain resurrection.